We're in Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Psalm chapter 19. And I've enjoyed the first two studies that we've done in these Psalms. We looked at Psalm 1, and we looked at the blessed man versus the ungodly man. And then 2 weeks ago, we looked at Psalm 13, when God seems late. Amen. And I said, when God seems late. Where art thou, O Lord? Why? How long? How long? But Psalm 19 we have here. We're going to talk tonight. Actually, the title is taken from a different scripture, but the title tonight is Seeing Him Who Is Invisible. Kind of a play on words that God gives us. Seeing Him Who Is Invisible. So let's stand. Psalm chapter 19. We'll read the entire psalm. Let's read responsively. I'll read the odd-numbered verses. You read the even-numbered verses with me through verse number 14. This is a wonderful psalm. Thank the Lord for it. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And all God's people said, you may be seated. Does God exist? This has been a question that has been asked for literally thousands of years. His existence has been debated. It's been ridiculed. It's been challenged. It's been denied by self-proclaimed atheists who, interestingly and coincidentally, spend so much of their time on earth futilely attempting to prove that God does not exist. An atheist ridiculing his daughter's simple faith in God hung a card in capital letter over her bed which said, God is nowhere. But he left a bit too much space between the W and the H so that his little girl in innocence exclaimed, yes, Daddy, God is now here. Atheism is as stupidly blind as faith in Christ as perceptive. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 14:1. Contrasted with the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Psalm 111, verse 10. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Dr. M.R. DeHaan, the founder of the Radio Bible Class and Our Daily Bread in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and was a great defender of the faith, said of this magnificent verse, here in Genesis 1:1, infidelity begins, and here in Genesis 1:1, faith comes to rest. If a man believes that, he can believe everything else that follows. If he rejects that statement, he will also deny every other cardinal truth of the Scriptures. Does God exist? Well, it doesn't matter what I think about it. What saith the Scriptures? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's Hebrews 1. Chapter 11, verses 1, 2, 3, 6. Verse 27 says this, speaking of Moses, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Can I say this? The Bible nowhere attempts to prove the existence of God. Nowhere. It merely reveals that He exists. In the beginning, God. It doesn't attempt to prove His existence. It's simply presumed. Does God exist? Absolutely. But seeing Him who is invisible requires something that the devil convinces the atheist and the lost world that he or she does not have. What is it? Faith. Faith. The Bible tells us in Romans 12:3 that God hath appointed unto every man the measure of faith. Brother Case, I believe that there's enough faith inside of everybody to get saved.
That's right. Amen, sir.
There's enough faith to believe that God exists. You know, to get saved, you have to believe that God exists, that He has a plan, that His Word is true. Amen. So, does God exist? Yes, but what does it take? It takes faith. But let's never forget, ladies and gentlemen, that Satan is a liar and the father of it. I've had people say to me, Brother Boston, I just don't have enough faith. I said, it's a lie. It's a lie you've believed. You believed a lie. Because the Bible says, God hath appointed to every man the measure of faith. Amen. God has placed enough faith in us to trust Him. What is faith? There's some great definitions I've read through the years. Of course, you have the Hebrews 11:1 definition, the best definition of all, Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Lewis Sperry Chafer said, faith is the simple confidence that God is and that He will faithfully do what He has promised. I think that's a good definition. Amen. How about, here's another one, W.A. Criswell, great Bible preacher out of Dallas, Texas. Faith is the solid, unshakable confidence in God, which is built upon the assurance that He will be faithful to His promises. That's a good definition. Amen. Here's another one. H.G. Bosch, another Grand Rapids product. Faith is simply taking God at His word, even though you cannot verify what He says with your feeble senses. I like that. Here's the best one I think of all, and of course, it's old Vance Havner. Vance Havner, just get anything you can by Vance Havner. Just a great, he said this, faith is a sturdy confidence in God that God will keep His promises, confidence enough to walk out on them and live there, although the world expects them to crack and crumble under you any day. I think that's a great definition of faith. Faith is simply believing God and taking Him at His word. By the way, that's why this is so important, this book. That's why, as long as I'm the pastor, unless you vote me out, we're never changing from this old King James Bible. Never. Never Why? Because it's the foundation of everything we believe. Everything that we have in faith. Amen. So, back to Psalm 19. Does God exist? The answer to that is yes, by faith. But how can we see that He exists in Psalm chapter 19? Number one, the works of God declare that He exists. Look again at Psalm 19. Starts off there. The heavens declare what? The glory of God. In the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of her chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and His circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. You know, there's a sister passage in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 18, says, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Here, right here. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it to them, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." God's existence is declared by, let me just give you a few sub-points, the heavens. The heavens. You look up. The order, the beauty, the vastness, all screams Creator, created. You know, before the days of these in getting from place to place, mariners would do this, looking at the stars, measuring the stars. Why? Because they were in order. The atheist, the agnostic, the evolutionist would have us to believe that there was a gigantic explosion. Never can prove from when or for what. Every time I blew something up as a kid, it was a fuse and gunpowder. And it very rarely was orderly. I remember in the street, my mom probably doesn't remember this, but I remember my dad used to get firecrackers. And Brother Howland, he used to get bricks of them. And one day I decided it would be a real smart thing to take a whole bunch of those and put them inside a lunchbox and put it right in the middle of the street. Now, we lived in a neighborhood where you could do things like that. And I'm telling you what ended up happening was not orderly. That lunchbox went everywhere. Okay? Now, I don't think you could do this with stars over hundreds of years if it was an explosion. The heavens, the order, the vastness says there's a God. Not only the heavens, but something else. The earth tells us that God exists. You know, the Bible says in Job 26:7, "He stretcheth out the north over the empty place. He hangeth the earth on nothing." I don't know about you. Let me try to hang this bottle of water, it's closed. Miss B, we might have an accident up here. Let me try to hang this on nothing. Let me try again. Miss B's like, please, no, don't do it again. Amen. Here we go, ready? Nope, not working. I think God could hang the earth on nothing, and only God. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, the earth is full of His glory. My wife and I went to Kauai 11 years ago for our 10th anniversary. And I remember just looking up, Brother Tom, at these lush green mountains. There's one spot in Kauai that I'm told is the rainiest spot on planet Earth. So these mountains, they're green. I never seen mountains that were green. I always saw cliffs and shale and snow, and these mountains are green. And Brother Horse, they would go right up into the clouds. And then you see these rainbows. And I remember thinking that of that verse the whole time I was in Hawaii. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, the earth is full of Your glory. Sunset, sunrise, summertime, harvest, fall. Boy, the earth's full of his glory, isn't it? What did Jesus say when his disciples were worried about clothes? He said, see that lily over there? It doesn't toil, it doesn't spin, and yet Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like that. God's the one that made that lily in the earth. So the heavens tell us God exists. The earth tell us that God exists. You know what else? The creatures tell us that God exists. The sea creatures and the flying creatures on day five. The land creatures, man, by the way, God's plan, male and female after its kind in everything, says an orderly, creative God. The works of God declare that he exists. Oh, praise God for this. Verses 7 through 11, the word of God. Not only the works of God, but the word of God. Look what it says there. All this whole passage, all about the word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect. What's that? The word of God, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Isn't it amazing that of all the incredible and complex creatures that God created, there is only one that he desires to communicate with. There is only one that he desires to have a relationship with. And there is only one that he made that is capable of worship, and that is us. Us. How does he communicate his existence? Yes, by the works of God, but to his creatures by the word of God. The word of God. Oh, I don't have time here, but there's five different things we could see about the word of God. And you could just take it down. Verse 7 tells us that the law of the Lord is what? Perfect. Perfect. Don't let anybody try to tell you you can't have a perfect Bible. Last time I checked, Brother Becker, we still have a perfect God. And a perfect God can give us a perfect Bible. Amen. Not only is it perfect, but according to verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing of the heart. The commandment of the Lord is what? Not only perfect, it's pure. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. You know what that means? It's not only perfect and pure, it's preserved. It's preserved. Hey, how about verse number 10? More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. You know what that tells me? That the word of God is not only perfect and pure and preserved, it's precious. It's more important than gold. You know, a person could have all the gold of all the earth and die and go to hell, but those of us that have a copy of this book, it's way more precious than gold. Our eternal souls. Tells us right here how we can know for we're going to heaven. It's perfect, it's pure, it's preserved, it's precious. Look at verse 11. I like this. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there's great reward. You know what it tells me? It's precautionary. Moreover, by the word of God is thy servant warned. Talking to before the service, Brother Horgan and I were talking, and we're talking about the scorner in Proverbs. The scorner. The wise man and the scorner are two different people. You know, they both are warned the same way, by the same word. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. So the works of God tell us God exists. The word of God tells us that God exists. Oh, I love this. I wish I had more time to preach. The wonderful grace of God tells us that God exists. Say, where do you see the grace of God? And, well, verses 12 through 14 says, I think about what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10. He said, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. You say, how can you prove that God exists? Well, the works of God prove that he exists. It's amazing to me how a person could look out at a sunset and think that all happened by accident. Yeah. Well, you got more faith than I do, sir. Amen. The Word of God tells me that God exists. But the wonderful grace of God in people's lives tells me God exists. I'm telling you what, ladies and gentlemen, if you look at this text, you see some ings, amen. Verse 12, you say, God's wonderful grace in the lives of his people. What do you see in verse 12? Who can understand his errors? What does he say? What's the next word? Cleanse thou me from seeking. Cleansing in people's lives. Cleansing. Cleansing in people's lives. Somebody had asked a drunkard one time if God existed, and if God could change booze, or I think it was this. He said, do you believe that God changed water into wine? And they were trying to trick him into the alcoholic wine argument. He said, I have no trouble believing God turned the water into wine, because you know what? He's turned my liquor money into furniture and shoes for my children and clothes on their backs and school books for them. Amen? God does that. And he does it through his cleansing power. Just think about it. Hey, listen, if you've got sin on your heart today, listen, you don't have to carry that load. God said if we confess our sins, that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God does that. Amen? Cleansing. Ooh, verse 13. Keep thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. You know what I see there? God's wonderful grace in the lives of his people? Restraining. Keeping us from sin. Hey, you remember the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father, which art in heaven. By the way, it's not a Catholic prayer. It's a Matthew 6 prayer. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. That's God's restraining. You know what we're waiting for? The rapture of the church. Yes, sir. You know what's going to happen? When the rapture of the church happens, the restrainer, the Holy Spirit, is taken out of this world by virtue of the fact that he inhabits us. He indwells us. And then shall that wicked be revealed, 2 Thessalonians tells us. But aren't you glad? Hey, God's restraining power. Aren't you glad God kept you from every situation that your wicked mind could think of? Yeah. Well, I think about that, how God is blessed. Not only cleansing, not only restraining, but lastly tonight, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. You know what I see there? I see guiding. Guiding. Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy... God, guide me in what I say. Guide my heart in what I think. You know, God's worked in your life. Brother Jim, God saved your mama. Amen? Saved your brothers and your sister, you eventually got around to saving your daddy, amen? I'm going to tell you something. Your daddy is a different man than the one I first met 22 years ago. That tells me God exists, ladies and gentlemen. That's not turning over a new leaf. That's getting a new life. And that only comes from God. I've seen people changed by the grace of God. I've seen it. I wish I'd see it more. Amen. I wish I'd see it more in my own life. Amen. That my stubbornness, and as Brother Russ preached so great on Sunday morning, my pride that keeps me from changing like I ought to. I'm going to tell you the fact that I've seen that tells me beyond, no atheist, no matter how tricky, no matter how learned, could ever talk me out of my faith in God. Amen. God exists. Why? We see him who's invisible by faith. The works of God tell us God exists. The Word of God tells us that God exists. And the wonderful grace of God tells us that God exists. Seeing him who's invisible. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for Lord, how you show us yourself. You reveal yourself to us. The fact that you want to and you desire to reveal yourself unto us is amazing. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Help us to be in the Word of God. It'd be an important part of our lives that we would see you on every page. Lord, help us to not take that grace for granted. Like Paul said, the grace was not bestowed upon me in vain. Thank you for bestowing your grace upon us, for your cleansing, for your restraining, for your guiding. We love you. Thank you for all that you give in Jesus' name. How about page 2?